Welcome to the Voice of Providence, a radio ministry of the Providence Baptist Church with our pastor and teacher, John D. Jones.
Every failure in the life of the Christian is ultimately a prayer failure. If we are not praying and seeking God, if we just move forward in the assumption of victory because of past victories, we are setting ourselves up for defeat. We should never make a move without consulting the voice of the Lord.
Providence Baptist Church, located at 8523 Providence Road, Ooltewah, Tennessee. Send us an email at voiceofprovidence@gmail.com. And now, here is Pastor Jones with today's message.
I invite you to take God's Word and go with me once again to Joshua chapter number 7. Verse number 25 of chapter 7 in the Bible says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. And so the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. And wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." I want to call your attention to this closing expression of this chapter. And the Bible says that they heaped a great heap of stones and became a memorial to the children of Israel, to the fierceness of the anger of the Lord. All this took place, and they named this location the Valley of Achor. Now, the name Achor means trouble. And tonight I want to speak to you on this topic just simply, courage in the valley of trouble. In Deuteronomy chapter number 11, in verse number 11, Moses describes the promised land as the land of hills and valleys. It could also accurately apply to the ups and downs of their life in this new land, the promised land, as it would apply to us believers. There's a tremendous correlation between this expression of hills and valleys to those common periods of highs and lows in the life of the believer and our walk of faith. Israel has experienced a tremendous victory over Jericho in the previous chapter. They were on a mountaintop experience from seeing the power of God openly displayed. They were beside themselves with euphoria, praising God for this tremendous victory. And this is where they are. And chapter 7 begins with an ominous word that really highlights a tremendous change, a transition that's about to take place. It signals that their stay on the mountain would be short-lived. It's a word that calls our attention to the fact that with all of the joys and the height that they are experiencing, it will be certainly matched by the depths of despair that will unfold in chapter number 7. Notice what the Bible says. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing." And the final phrase of verse 1, the Bible says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." The word "accursed" describes something that is holy and completely devoted and dedicated to the Lord. It is something that is devoted and dedicated with the full intent of either being destroyed or something that is going to be kept for himself. Now, the Bible tells us exactly what God was talking about. What was it that had been devoted for him, either for destruction or for his keeping? If you go back to chapter number 6 and verse number 18, the Lord gives these instructions. He says, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing," the accursed thing, "lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron, they are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." God had determined that everything in Jericho would be destroyed. If it was not destroyed, those things of value would be brought into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Everything else would be destroyed. The people, the inhabitants of Jericho, all of them would be destroyed with the exception of Rahab and everyone who was in Rahab's house. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need to keep in mind, God is at war with sin. This is not Israel's fight. This is God's fight. This is not Israel's battle. This is God's battle. He is waging war against sin. And because of the sin and the wickedness of Jericho, God is executing judgment upon them. And by the way, here's something else you need to keep in mind. There is a very clear and powerful principle that is being played out in this passage. One that we see everywhere, even on the battlefield, and that principle is this: the first fruits belong to the Lord. Jericho was Israel's first victory in the promised land. It was the first fruit, but unfortunately not everyone took this instruction to heart. In this chapter, Joshua finds himself in one of the deepest valleys that he himself would ever experience as the leader of these people. He is in the depths of the valley. It's the valley of trouble. And yet in his valley, Joshua has to discover courage. How do we respond when we're in the valley of trouble? In this chapter, we are given insight into what we must do, what we have to do, the courage that we must have when we find ourselves in the valley of trouble. The pleasures of sin always gives way to the pain of its consequences. Sin is the harbinger of sorrow. And when we find ourselves in the valley of trouble, we need courage to consult the Lord. We need courage to confront the folly. We need courage to condemn the sin. Joshua had courage in the valley of trouble. He had courage to consult the Lord. Picking up our reading in verse number 1, the Bible says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto them, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them, of the Israelites, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shibarim. And smote them in the going down thereof, and the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. And he and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God that we would have been content and dwelt on the other side, Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round about. They will circle us and camp about us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will they do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. And neither will I be with you any more except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. And in the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the family thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by household, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Having witnessed such a spectacular victory over Jericho, their eyes look immediately to the horizon towards the next city. He sends out spies just like they did for Jericho, and the spies come back, and there's an air of overconfidence in it. Joshua does not pray, does not consult the Lord. When Joshua does finally pray, it's almost like there's a tone of accusation in the voice of Joshua. He says in verse 7, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all? Why did you at all bring this people over Jordan? Did you bring us here just to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God that we would have been content just to stay over there." It almost sounds as if he is accusing God of this failure. Here's something we need to remember. Every failure in the life of the Christian is ultimately a prayer failure. If we are not praying and seeking God, if we just move forward in the assumption of victory because of past victories, we are setting ourselves up for defeat. We should never make a move without consulting the voice of the Lord. Had Joshua sought the voice of the Lord, God would have told him, "Listen, there is sin in the camp. Don't go." It's a funny thing, oftentimes when we find ourselves in the valley of trouble, we do not turn to the Lord, even in those moments, because we have this false sense of security. We believe that we can handle it ourselves. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very quick to turn to the Lord and seek His face. Joshua had courage. He had courage enough to consult the Lord. If you are in the valley of trouble, talk to the Lord. Be open and honest before Him. Pour your heart out before Him and listen to Him. Joshua had courage enough to consult the Lord, but secondly, we must have courage to confront the folly. Picking up in verse number 16, notice what happens. So Joshua rose up early in the morning, and he brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Notice there is no delay on the part of Joshua. And he brought the family of Judah and took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoilers a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Having heard the voice of the Lord in discerning how the Lord wants him to deal with this, Joshua wastes no time in confronting the folly. And this is what the Lord calls it. In verse number 15, he says that he hath wrought folly in Israel. The word folly, it means a disgrace. And what Achan did brought disgrace upon himself, upon his family, upon his whole tribe of Judah. It brought disgrace upon the nation of Israel as a whole, as they were set to flight in front of their enemies, made a laughing stock, a disgrace. He brought disgrace upon the name of God. Because of Achan, the whole assembly was guilty before the Lord. This is what the Lord said. He says in verse number 13, notice this, "Up, sanctify the people, set them apart, and say, sanctify yourselves against the morrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, and thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you have taken away the accursed thing." He goes on to say that They are accursed because the accursed thing is among them. The whole assembly is guilty before God because of the failure of this man. One man contaminated the entire nation. How is that possible? I'll tell you how, because God saw them as one solitary group. They met before the Lord, and as one group they said, "We, Lord, rededicate ourselves to you." God saw them as one. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, God sees the individual Christian as a part of a whole body. Do you realize that sin in my life, unconfessed sin in my life, not only impacts me, but it will also affect my household? Unconfessed sin in my life not only affects me, not only impacts my household, but do you realize that it will also have a negative impact upon this church? Because I am a part of a whole. If we allow sin to find a safe haven in our lives, if we leave things unconfessed before God, not only will it affect us, dear friend, it can impact the whole church. I would hate to think that God would hold back His blessings because I was walking wayward. God deems all of Israel guilty because of one man's sin. And you and I must take very serious our walk with God, because God sees our personal obedience as part of the whole. In verses 11 and 12, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing. Notice he says it's Israel. All of Israel has done this. And have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. And neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. It was Achan, but it hurt everyone. Joshua had courage to confront the folly. In verse 21, we read of Achan's response. And in this confession, we really see the dynamics of disobedience. Before Achan ever acted, he had already reasoned in his mind and rationalized what he was going to do. You say, "Pastor, how do you know this?" Because he changes the name of what he took. In verse number 21, Achan says, "When I saw among the spoils." Achan said, "It's the spoils." What are the spoils? When the soldier would go in and would win on the battlefield, the way they were paid, most often, they were paid by the spoils of war. If they found gold and jewelry, anything of value, they would take those things, and that was their wages for their fight. Achan said it's spoil. But notice what God called them. In chapter 6 and verse 18, we saw that a moment ago. He says, "Keep yourself from the accursed thing." In chapter 7, verse number 11, "Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing." In verse number 13, God says it again. He says, "There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee." Again in verse 13, he said, "I'm not going to be with you until you remove and take away the accursed thing from among you." God called that expensive Babylonian robe, that wedge of gold and all that silver, he called it accursed, but Achan called it spoils. Ladies and gentlemen, sin by any other name is still sin, no matter what we call it. We can redefine it all we want to, but in the eyes of God, if He says it's accursed, if it's a sin, Achan knew what he did was wrong because what he did with them when he got them. Notice he saw it, he says in verse number 21, he said, "I saw it." And then he said, "I coveted it." If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I would encourage you to underline these expressions. First, he said, "I saw among them." Then he says, partway, halfway through the verse, "I coveted them." Then he said, "I took them." And then he says, "They are hid." Those are the four things that he did. Saw it, coveted it, took it, and hid it. It was that second look that propelled him down the broad way of destruction. And ladies and gentlemen, we must learn from Achan's mistake. We must take to heart the warning and the lesson here. But we must also follow the example of Joshua. Joshua, in the midst of all of this, he's exemplary because he had courage to confront the folly. When the Lord pinpoints it, he deals with it. He confronts it. Courage is required in the valley of trouble. Courage to consult the Lord. Courage to confront the folly. But then, thirdly, courage to condemn the sin. Courage to condemn the sin. Picking up our reading in verse number 22. So Joshua sent messengers and ran into the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. The name Achor is based on the root for the word Achan. The name Achan also is a derivative of the word meaning trouble. He's a troubler. And he lived up to his name. And Joshua said, "You troublemaker, why have you made us trouble? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble, unto this day. The first reading of this passage is so difficult. It's difficult because we miss so much in the English translation. It's difficult to read because we struggle with this idea, this concept of a whole family being judged and punished because of the failure of Achan. But there's a couple of things we need to keep in mind. The first thing I want you to keep in mind is that at every transitional period, God deals with sin in the most extraordinary way, without exception. Achan and his household, this is at a major transitional period in Israel. For the very first time, they've entered into the promised land. God is underscoring for them, listen, this is serious, and I am serious about sin. Secondly, as it pertains to this household, Achan was not alone in his guilt for sin. Why did the whole family die? The answer is found in verse number 11. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen. Notice this next phrase, and dissembled also. The word dissembled is the key to understanding why the entire household was judged. It means to conspire together to deceive. When Achan brought these goods into his tent, the wife says, "What's that?" The kids say, "Hey, what's that?" The sons say, "Hey, that looks nice. Where'd you get that?" And Achan lays it out in front of his whole family. And they dissembled. All of them together in agreement said, "This is what we're going to do. Nobody will ever know. What we're going to do is we're going to dig a hole right here in the middle of our tent. And we're going to bury everything and we're going to cover it up. But don't tell nobody." Everyone in that household, everyone in that tent was party to this sin. And by the way, everything rises and falls on leadership. Do you know when it comes to reaching families? Statistics tell us that when we reach children, there is a small possibility statistically that we will reach the mother. If we reach the mother and the children, there is a small statistical chance that we would be able to reach much more than that. If we reach only the mother, there's a small probability that we will reach the children. But if we reach the father, statistically, if you reach the father in the home, by and large, before long, the wife will be saved and the children will be saved. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And God has designed the home where the man is the leader in that home. And when Achan came in and said, "Listen, folks, I've got a good idea," his wife fell in line under his leadership, and the children fell in line under his example. I don't know about you, men, but that is one of the scariest things for me as a man and as a husband and as a dad. If I do not take sin serious in my life, it weakens. It weakens the whole family. But they all conspired together. It's interesting, by the way, that the Lord said, "You stole." They stole. The Lord said, "Listen, this stuff belongs to me." And they stole. It reminds me of what we read in the book of Malachi. In chapter 3, the Lord said, the people have stolen. The people said, "Lord, where have we stolen from you?" He said, "You've stolen from me in the matter of tithes and offerings." By the way, aren't you glad that God doesn't deal with us the same way he dealt with Achan? There'd be a lot more empty pews, I think, if God dealt with the church today the way that he dealt back then. When we steal and take and retain for ourselves those things that belong to God, God condemns the sin and God pronounces the judgment of death upon it. Here's something, ladies and gentlemen, we all need to take to heart. And I want you to listen to this very carefully. Maybe even write this down. Here's one of the major mistakes that Achan made. Anytime we try to cover sin, God will uncover it. Any sin that we try to cover, God will uncover it. But any sin that we go to our Heavenly Father and we uncover it before Him, God in His mercy, He covers it for us. That's the best part of this whole message. There's no reason for us to take and hide things and keep from God. Uncover it before Him, and the Lord will cover it for us. Dear Christians, sin should never feel at home in the life of the Christian. Sin should never feel comfortable in our life. No Christian should feel comfortable with sin in their life. It was sin that brought trouble to the people of God. It was sin that brought about their first and only defeat in the promised land. Remember that. This was their first and only defeat under the leadership of Joshua, and it was sin that caused it. Sin in our lives will cause defeat. It will cause trouble for our homes. It can hinder the blessing of God amongst the congregation. May God grant us the courage that we need in the valley of trouble. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of Providence, a radio ministry of the Providence Baptist Church, with our pastor and teacher, John D. Jones. Our prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. We're located at 8523 Providence Road, Ootowah, Tennessee. You can visit us online at www.providenceonline.org. We would love to hear from you. Send us an email at voiceofprovidence@gmail.com. And until next time, may God richly bless you.